and different stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel God's Spirit telling me, prepare, get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for His stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel His Spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. Lord, help me lay aside any weight that's holding fast to me. Please cleanse this waiting vessel to face eternity. With leaving time so close at hand, Lord, help me not to stray, but keep my eyes on You and walk the narrow way. I thank God for His stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel His Spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for His stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel His Spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home.
Take your Bible in your hand and get the book of Acts. The book of Acts. I want to preach this morning on Pentecost. Pentecost, one heart, one mind, and one accord. Pentecost, one heart, one mind, and one accord. And I'm going to do my best to preach on five things about Pentecost. Listen carefully. I hope you can remember these. One, the sovereignty of Pentecost. The sovereignty of Pentecost. Number two, the power of Pentecost. Number three, the prayers of Pentecost. Number four, the vision of Pentecost. And number five, the latter rain of Pentecost. I'm going to do my best to preach those five things. I'm going to take my time. I'm doing my best to learn how to preach a little slower. I do that for you, Sister Gloria, so that you can get everything I say. She has learned that English language. I am amazed at you, Sister Gloria. You have learned that English language. When she first started here, I was a real pain because I was way preaching too fast in English for her to follow. And Brother Jose was trying to help. And, you know, we was doing all we could, but the transition wasn't easy for her. And I'm thankful that she made it, because they are one wonderful family, part of this church. Now, book of Acts, chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it set and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues. Notice that, cloven tongues, like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. my two friends from the service station made it. Hey, fellas, God bless you, John, and God bless you. I'm overwhelmed messing up my sermon. Hey, you guys messed up my sermon coming in here late. That's okay. I'm glad you came. Well, I met them at the service station. I had a flat tire. Have you ever been grateful to God you had a flat tire? Let me see your hand if you've ever been. See? You have been grateful that you had a flat tire. After I met these guys, I said, thank you, God, for that flat tire. Hallelujah. It's amazing what can happen because of a flat tire. It can be frustrated, or it can be a blessing. John and Jamaz. I get it right, John and Jamaz? Did I get it right? I believe I did. All right, back to the Bible. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, or at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, notice now, noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, they were all speaking in other tongues. That was the people, the 120 that received the baptism. They were speaking in other tongues. But the people who were coming in were hearing them in their own language from their own country where they would come from. Isn't that beautiful? Heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Man, of the people that were in Jerusalem, and that's not all of them. That's just a portion of the countries represented at this given time in Jerusalem as this 120 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I would like to read it all, but I've got a lot of preaching to do, so I don't want to hurry and read so much. But I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm going to talk to you about that day when the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out on the church. This was the second chapter of Acts. The four Gospels are right behind us. And Jesus said in chapter 1 of Acts, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Remember that? That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about this outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he said, you're going to receive power. Dynamite. Dunamis was the word they used. Same word as the background of dynamite. You're going to receive dynamite after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, Father, these are wonderful people. This is a beautiful congregation. Father, we are somehow growing a little bit back to our normal. But I'm praying for a miracle, God. I love my people. I love these two young men. I love all the congregation, the family visitors. I love them. Now, Father, minister to us. Let us hear from you this morning. Let us get this message way down deep inside. Make yourself real to us. In Jesus' name, and you may be seated. Now listen to me carefully. Would everybody give me your uttermost attention? Uttermost attention. I'm preaching about Pentecost. Pentecost. And I'm preaching about the unity of it, the one mind that they had, the total togetherness that they had developed and had come to know. It's a beautiful subject. Wonderful. Pentecost. One heart, one mind, one accord. Hey, isn't that wonderful? One heart, one mind, one accord. Let me preach to you about five things. Number one, the sovereignty of this event. Do you understand the word sovereignty? Been on my heart all week, the word sovereignty. That means God is acting on his own. God is acting apart from human power. God is acting apart from human strength or human ability or human plans. A movement from God, of God, and by God. That's what the word sovereignty means. So Pentecost was a sovereign event. Nobody had planned it among the Jewish people. They didn't understand their feast, and one of them being an example of the coming day of harvest and Pentecost. They didn't know what was going to happen. All this group of people knew, 120 of them, Jesus had said to them over on the mountainside at the Mount of Ascension, Jesus had said to them, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Jesus had said that to them. There was 500 plus people in the group that Jesus told that to. Now understand me, 500 plus people on the side of that mountain before Jesus ascended up to heaven, and they heard Jesus say, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. That's what he had said to them. 500. Now, only 120 was in the upper room. So the crowd that heard Jesus give them this charge, stay in Jerusalem. Don't go nowhere. Stay together until you receive power from on high. So 500 heard him. Now it's 10 days later, and the crowd has come from 500 down to 120. Let me just surmise a little bit. This is not Bible. Now this is just my opinion. The Bible don't tell us how it happened. But on the first day after the day he charged them, let's say 400 came. And maybe the next day, another 100 dropped off the side. And another day or two, and another 50. And another 50. And from 10 days, when they heard Jesus say, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. What do you think Jesus meant? He meant tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave town. Don't go on a vacation. Don't go back home. Galilee is where they all were from. Don't do anything but stay here. I will pour out of my spirit upon you, and you're going to receive power. I'm going to turn this church upside down. I'm going to make you a powerhouse. I'm going to make you a crowd of Holy Ghost-filled people that move this world to the cross and to Jesus Christ. I'm fixing to do something great. So stay together. Stay in the upper room. And it kept dwindling. 10 days later, 120 are in the upper room. From 500 plus, down to 120, and they're waiting for whatever God's going to do. They don't understand it. They don't know they're going to speak in tongues. They don't know there's going to be power come upon them. They don't know it's going to be 3,000 saved the first day. They don't know a thing that's going to happen. But they've been praying, and they've been waiting, and they've been humbling themselves. They've been seeking the face of God. And so the 120 are organized, united, one accord, one mind, one thought, one heart. And suddenly, they are not even standing. They're not even kneeling. They're seated. They're sitting down. 120 are seated together in the upper room. Now, I guarantee you, if I'd have been there, I'd have had them standing. I always was a little bit over-involved in trying to manipulate things like I thought it ought to be. Anybody ever done that beside me? Oh, yeah, I knew you had. You won't raise your hand, but you have. You see, but that crowd had prayed. They were probably pretty tired. I guess they slept some at night. But 120 are seated. and suddenly. Are you listening to me? Do you understand the word suddenly? Suddenly means it was a sovereign act of God. They didn't even know it was fixing to happen. They didn't know what was about to take place. They didn't know what was going to change about them and about the whole situation. Sovereignly, God revealed himself. Ooh, am I waiting on that? I'm waiting on that. God's going to do it again. You see, we are believing that there's a latter rain of the Holy Ghost coming, Brother Jose. How many of you believe there's a latter rain of the Holy Ghost coming? Let me see your hand if you really believe it. Slip it up high. Yeah, we believe it. We know it's going to happen. We really do. But we got to get across in our minds it'll be a sovereign move. And no preacher will announce it. And no preacher will say, this is it. And no preacher will be in charge of it. It'll be just like it was on the day of Pentecost. It'll be a move of God and a move of God only. It'll be a move from heaven and a move from heaven only. And nobody will have the mastery of it but God. Hallelujah. And I love that. I'm amazed at how that crowd dwindled from over 500 to 120. But I want to tell you what. The crowd that was left meant business. The crowd that was left was in tune with God. The crowd that was left was in what? One accord. There wasn't a grumbler. There wasn't a griper. And there wasn't even anybody late. I'm getting mischievous now. I mean, it was something absolutely ominous and awesome and glorious. But suddenly, a sound from heaven. Lack of a what? Everybody knows what that sound was. What was it sound like? What did it sound like, John? A rushing mighty wind. A rushing mighty wind. And it came upon that whole crowd of 120. Nobody was there but 120. And suddenly the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Suddenly they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And not just the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, Sister Carmen. The Holy Ghost and fire. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said the Holy Ghost set upon them in cloven tongues, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You can't help the Holy Ghost when he moves. If you try to help him, you'll only mess things up. You just let God be sovereign. I want to see a sovereign move of God. I want to see something that came straight from heaven. I want to see something that's real to the core. And that's what it's going to be. I'm here to tell you, you won't need lights of flickering. You won't need all kinds of funny sounds going on. You won't need a choir singing like nobody you can ever. I mean, just marvelous. I love beautiful singing. But I'm telling you, it won't be nothing that brings down this baptism but God's sovereignty. Raise your hand and say, God, do it again. Would you raise your hand with me and say, God, do it again. God, do it again. God, do it again. I've got to see it. I'm so hungry for it. I'm so hungry for it. I cannot tell you how hungry I am. I come in here in the mornings. We pray every morning beginning before 6 and usually 2-3 hours. And I sob. I cry. I cry out. I am so hungry. I'm so hungry. I know they must have been the same way. They must have been hungry. But they had finally just settled down, waiting. Everybody was seated. I love it when the Holy Ghost comes while we're seated. That means Brother Chambers didn't have anything to do with it. And Brother Marlin didn't have anything to do with it. And Sister Yvette didn't have any. And nobody. It was God's movement. And it is going to happen again. As sure as I stand here preaching to you this morning. The Bible is plain. We'll get there in a little bit. But let's understand that whatever God does has got to be sovereign. When God moves, he won't give his glory to nobody. If you've got to have glory, if you've got to have attention, if you've got to be in the center of it, God's going to move you out of the way because God's not going to give this glory to no man. I don't care how good he is, how devoted he is. I don't care how long he's lived in this godly faith. It's got to be glory to God and glory to God and glory to God alone. Give him a wave offering, will you? Oh, declam kunde shekariba. Oh, hallelujah. I feel His Holy Ghost right now. I'm here to tell you. I feel His Holy Ghost. He wants to give His glory again. So it's going to be sovereign. It's going to be sovereign. It's going to be sovereign. Nobody taught them men the languages of all those crowds of people. Let's take the Parthians. Did you see that word? The Parthians. When I was in Iraq in 88, a Iraqi man and his son took me up to Mosul and just kind of was my tour guide and my interpreters. And we went up to Mosul. And when we was leaving Mosul, which I guess it was 150 miles north of Baghdad, where my room was, when we was on our way back, the man said to me, Reverend Chambers, there was a culture of people that lived over here in Iraq called the Parthians. And they are extinct. They're all gone. But the ruins of their capital is over there. So he took me to the ruins of the Parthians. They were in Jerusalem when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And they were named. But in my day, they extinct. You see, God had brought people there from many places because of their Jewish heritage. But when the Holy Ghost was poured out, 120 Galileans began to speak in all those different languages. They didn't know them. They had never learned them. It was all the work of the Holy Ghost. All of it the work of the Holy Ghost. You see, when you speak in tongues by the Holy Ghost, it's a divine act. And you can't do it on your own. And if you manipulate it, then it becomes the old flesh. It's horrible. I've heard people try. I've heard people stutter and say all kinds of incoherent words and try to put together something that sounds like tongues. But I don't want nothing to do with that. I want the real. How many of you want the real? How many of you are hungry for the real Holy Ghost? You're hungry to have an experience with God that's so Holy Ghost filled. Well, sovereignty is part of God's business. Everything that God has ever done, He has done in His sovereignty. Everything He's ever done. And usually, nobody knew it was going to happen till it was already happening. We've got a little advantage on them. The Bible's already told us there's going to be a lot of rain. But we don't know when it's coming. We don't know how it's coming. We don't know where it's going to start at. We don't know who all is going to get involved in it. We just know that the Bible says that they shall speak, said that your sons and your daughters shall speak in tongues or shall prophesy. And it talks about it being a worldwide event when God begins to pour out His power and His Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, it's coming, but it's coming sovereignly. Don't you think you're going to manipulate it? Don't you think you're going to make it happen? You're not, and I'm not, nobody else. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Now, you understand, Pentecost has always been sovereign. Anytime there's a real move of Pentecost, it's got to be sovereign. Anytime it becomes a manipulation of the flesh, it's abusive. It's wrong. It's negative. No, we don't want it. Now, not only is Pentecost sovereign, Pentecost is powerful. The power of Pentecost. Let's go. Let's go, if we might. Acts 3. Acts 3. I want you to hear very carefully, please. Acts 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And this is Acts chapter 3, verse 4, next verse. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, listen to this verse 6, silver and gold have I none, But such as I do have, give I unto thee. And here's a crippled man who's never walked. He's been crippled all his life. They brought him, carried him of other hands and other arms, and set him at the gate of that temple. He didn't come of his own accord. He wasn't brought because he wanted to go in. He was brought there to beg. Hold out his hand. Look for coins to buy lunch, probably for himself and those who brought him. Who knows? And anyhow, he held out his hand. And Peter looked at him. Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have. Repeat those words with me, would you? Such as I have. Hey, say that out loud. I want to hear you. Peter said, such as I have, give I unto thee. And he took him by the right hand and said to him, rise up and walk. And Peter didn't wait for him to get up. Peter reached and got him and picked him up. I mean, Peter grabbed his hand and held him up. I mean, in a moment's time. And as he was held up by Peter, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Something happened in his legs. Something happened in his body. Never walked before. He didn't even need to go to a clinic and be taught how to walk. I get amazed today. Anytime somebody gets a little healing or they get sick, they got to go somewhere to help them recover and so they can walk again. Well, I'm not against that. When somebody needs it, do it for them. But this man had a touch from heaven. This man had a miracle from God. This man had a miracle that was a sovereign act of the Heavenly Father. I get back to that word sovereign. I get back to that word sovereign. And suddenly, his feet and ankle bones receive strength. And he starts in the temple walking and leaping. Oh, hallelujah. And praising God. Oh, hallelujah. God had given him a miracle. God had given him. Somebody raise your hand and say hallelujah, will you? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody, well, I don't know why some of you aren't happy a little bit. Power of Pentecost. That power of Pentecost is the same today. That power hasn't diminished. A year and a half ago, I was dying. Every one of you knew it. I was told so many times I was dying, I got tired of hearing it. They never told me one time that I didn't say, you're mistaken. I'm not dying. And you know what God had told me? Some of you never heard me say this. Listen to me, John and my friends. God told me, if you go to the hospitals, you're going to die. But if you'll trust me, I'm going to heal you. And with 3 months. 3 months trusting God. 3 months dying. 3 months losing a little weight. 3 months going backwards. And all of a sudden, it turned around. Somebody help me, will you? Somebody help me. Now I'm telling you, whoa, this is God. That's the hand of God. That's what God wants to do again. God wants to heal the sick in our midst again, just like he did then. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Bob, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, John. It's going to happen, Jamaz. It's going to happen, fellas. God is still the same today he was then. Hallelujah. That lame man went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. Now, try to help me. Stay with me. Listen. He had never been in church before. A lame man was not allowed to go into the temple in that day. They were forbidden. Anybody that had an infirmity of the flesh could not go into the temple. They had to be healed before they could get in. And those Jewish priests didn't have enough power to heal anybody. So they just didn't get to go. But now things have changed. And the men out on the front steps, coming up the steps, are no longer Jewish priests who are helpless. They've been in the upper room, and God's filled them with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. And so they are different. And now they say to the man, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give we unto you. And God healed. Now that man, The Bible says Sister Marilyn went into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. It shook that crowd so bad. Can you imagine how that bunch of Jewish worshipers were shaking all over as they watched that man? They'd seen him out there. They knew his legs were crippled. They knew he was a helpless man. They knew he was nothing but a beggar. They had no confidence in his faith at all. They knew him as a helpless man. And suddenly he's walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. That's the power of Pentecost. It's no different now than it was then. The difference is us, not God. The difference is we don't pray like we ought to pray. We don't stay in the presence of God like we ought to stay in the presence of God. I want to tell you something. If you will pour all you out to God in prayer until you are absolutely empty, you know what God will do? He'll fill the hole where you used to be with himself. How many would like to have God real in your life? I believe you do, Jamaz, I'm sorry. I believe you do. I believe you do. God's real. I'm going to tell you, God's real. Now, let's go further. My time is getting gone fast. Number one was the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost. Everybody understands that? You understand that God did it? It was totally God. It was not planned by men. It was not some action that men had schemed up. They didn't have special music. They didn't have special lights flickering, going off and on. They didn't have the ceiling painted black. I mean, they had none of that stuff. There was just a group of prayer warriors. And God poured out his Holy Ghost. Then that great miracle in chapter 3. I love that miracle. I love the miracle because here were two preachers that were poor. They had no silver and gold, but they had something better than silver and gold. We got preachers today who live in big fancy mansions. They drive multiple cars. They live like kings, but they don't have any power. They don't have any anointing. The sick don't get healed. All they do is scheme it out to make money for their pocketbook. But I got news for you. The real Pentecost is still powerful. But there's a reason. The next, I want to go to the prayers of Pentecost. That's chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Get your Bible ready. You got to read it with me now. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to go down about the verse 22. There's a lot of it I like to read, but don't have time. But let's go down to verse 21. For when they had further threatened them, this is the church, being threatened by the government there in Jerusalem, being told, don't say nothing else on this Jesus thing. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Then verse 22. For the man was about 40 years old that God had healed. That's the man that was healed in chapter 3. And being let go, they went to their own company. Verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. Now, you got to hear this. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. They did what? Are you hearing me? They lifted up their voice. I hear some of you praying. And I don't think it gets over your head. Because you pray like you are asleep. You pray like you are half dead. You pray like you're tired and worn out. They lifted up their voice. Now study the word lifted up and you're going to find they were crying out to God. They won't just pray in some little measly prayer. They won't pray in some little, helpless prayer. They wasn't talking to God because they were scared. They weren't scared of nobody. They just come from the jailhouse and they were ready to go back if need be. They wasn't afraid of nothing happening. They was as bold as lions. They was devoted as it was possible to be. And so now, after they've been threatened by the authorities in Jerusalem, they are not afraid. And so they cry out to God and they lifted up their voice to God. Oh, I like that. I'm telling you, that's the prayer of Pentecost. A real prayer is not measly praying. Now get over your hump with your praying. When I ask you to pray, let it out. Let it out. I remember when I got saved in Pentecost, 1952. That's a long time. Do you know how I learned to pray? Would everybody listen to me just a moment? Let me tell you how I learned to pray. I was 16 years old. I was a country boy from the farm. I stuttered so bad, you could hardly understand any words that came out of my mouth. When I told them I was called to preach, they laughed at me. They said, "You can't preach. You can't even talk." That's what they told me. I remember. And there was four laymen in the church. And they prayed every Sunday afternoon in the woods. And so they took me with them to the woods. And they didn't teach me how to pray. They showed me how to pray. Are you hearing the difference? And they started praying. And I'm telling you what, in the woods, they shook up some dust, brother. I mean, they prayed. They cried out to God. You could hear them from a mile away. They prayed with all they had. And I'm just a little kid from the farm. I'm a little country boy. Don't know how to talk plain, but I knew how to yell. And I knew how to say words as far as I could understand them. And I began to talk to God out there in those woods, just like those men were doing. That's where I learned how to pray. When I went to Bible school over here at the Church of God campground, I was known as the man praying in the woods. I was still going to the woods to pray. Now I'd get in those woods and pray. I was talking to Brother Joey Yates recently, and he said, "Brother Chambers, there used to be a lady up here in Danville. She's dead now." And said she lived over here, and he told me some idea where it was. And he said she was always going to the woods and praying. And everybody in Danville came to know this woman who prayed in the woods. And they started coming to her with needs. And she prayed of many, he said, of a miracle to occur here in Danville because she was praying out in the woods. And when she prayed, the devil knew she was praying. I like that. I never said that before. I want the devil to know I'm praying. I want the devil to know when I come to this church in the mornings to pray. I want the devil to hear, "Here's a man that's not afraid of you. Come and knock on the window, do what you want to." But hallelujah. Somebody's got to help me preach. I'm telling you, they prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed. And when they prayed, something happened. Come on, everybody stand up and love the Lord a minute, would you? I want you to get on fire. I want you to get on fire, church. I want you to get so full of the Holy Ghost that you become a mighty warrior. Bless him. Bless him. John, you want a little of this too? You're not sure yet, are you? I know. I'm a trip. All those guys really liked me. They hugged my neck, and they weren't supposed to. They're supposed to stay 6 feet apart. But I let them hug my neck because I decided I liked them. Hey, church, let me tell you something. Somebody help me now. Oh, raise your hand and tell God you're going to pray from now on like you mean business. Let me know you're going to pray to God like you mean business. You're going to quit worrying about your neighbors hearing you. You're going to quit worrying about somebody thinking you're a little bit off the normal. I am off the normal. I'm so glad I am. I'm so glad I'm not normal. I'm so glad I'm not normal. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Glory. Pentecostals praying. See, that's how Pentecostals prayed. Sister Wood, that's how they prayed. Sister Hope, I'm sorry. That's how they pray. And the Bible says, now let's don't leave that stand just a minute. I'll let you be seated. You got to see what happened. This is breathtaking. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Go on down. Let's go down to verse 28, I believe. Verse 9. "Now, Lord," verse 29. "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. The signs and wonders may be done in the name of that holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed. Does anybody hear this? Let me see your hand if you know where I'm at. And when they had prayed. Are you ready? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Oh, God, shake this place. God, shake this whole church. Shake this old church. Let the Silatex fall if you want to, God. But shake this place to the core of our being. This is Pentecost. This is Pentecost. Pentecost is a mighty move of God. It's not humans making noise. It's God making noise. It's God moving. Oh, hallelujah. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Do you know that has happened many times? I was recently, well, it's been a little over a year now, with a man who was dying, who had been a member of the same church I was saved in. And we were talking. His dad was dying. Or the man that had been in the church with me was dying. And one of the neighbors of the church had come to visit, older man. And I mentioned, have you ever heard about the fireball coming down on the East Burlington Church many years ago? This man said, I was living across the street. He said, my mother came and got me and said, son, come. I want you to see fire on the top of the church. And he said, my mother brought me in the front room where we could see across the street, and the fire was burning on the top of the church. That's Pentecost. That's old-fashioned Pentecost. God's going to do it again. Did somebody listen to me? God's going to do it again, Jose, Gloria. God's going to do it again, folks. I'm a Hoshakata Ramah. Hallelujah. That's Pentecostal people praying, and God shook the place. Now, I want to finish, and I know I'm preaching too long, but let's go to chapter 10 a minute. I want you to see the vision of that church. That church wasn't behind walls. That church was not interested in walls. All right, let's go to chapter 10, please. I'm trying to hurry this thing, and I have to kind of move it fast. Chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now, this man was not a Jew. This man was a part of the Roman government. This man was a centurion. That's a very high-level soldier in the Roman army. But the Bible said he was a devout man that prayed to God always. He saw in a vision to send for Peter and get Peter to come. And so they sent for Peter. Peter was over at Caesarea in the home of one of the church members. And he was upstairs praying, seeking God. These people came from Caesarea to say to him, you need to go and pray for Cornelius. He says God has appeared to him. Peter said, I can't go. I'm a Jew. We Jews don't eat with those publicans, those Gentiles. And Peter said, I can't go. So God gave him a vision. God let down some meat from heaven that was unclean meat. And God said to him, eat. He said, I can't eat that. That's unclean. God showed it to him again. And God said, what I have cleansed, thou art not to call common or unclean. Do you hear me? And so Peter went over there to preach, and the whole house got saved. And the Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues, just like the crowd did in Acts 2. The Bible says it. I'm not giving you something out of my head. I'm telling you what the Bible said. And so the church had moved in their vision far beyond the walls to people from the Roman government who needed God too. Now I could go on and on. You see, this is not something that happens inside walls. This is something that will go far beyond these walls. This is something that will go far beyond these walls. God's going to give a sovereign move that's going to bring literally millions into this faith. It's going to be great. Let's just go to James chapter 5, and I'll try to finish there. James chapter 5. I want you to hear this. Very important. Very important. James 5. Go to verse 5. And then go to verse 7. This is James. Now, who was James? Anybody know? Just remain standing. I'm coming to a conclusion. Who was James? He was the half-brother of Jesus. Hear me, John. James, that we're fixing to read from in his book, was the half-brother of Jesus. Mary was his brother. I mean, was his mother. But the husband of Mary was the father, and Jesus had no earthly father. So they're only half-brothers, okay? Understand? I went around the post trying to get to that, but I want you to know it. James says, be patient, therefore, brethren. Got your Bible open? Unto the coming. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. Anybody knows who the husbandman is? God the Father. The Bible makes that plain. St. John 15:1 makes it plain. It's plain in the Bible. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. What? That was 20 years after Pentecost, approximately. 20 years. I studied it today, trying to make sure I knew the dates. Somewhere about AD 40, maybe 40, as much as 48. But somewhere in those years, James said these words. Behold, the father, the husbandman, waited for the precious fruit of the earth. What's he waiting for? The early and latter rain. The latter rain hasn't happened yet. Everybody that knows anything about church history knows the latter rain hasn't happened yet. There's been some real revivals. There's been some wonderful events. There's been some great awakenings with limited effect. But the latter rain that touches the whole globe hasn't happened yet. He said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Say those words with me, please. Latter rain. Remember early rain. That's the book of Acts, chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 10. Now, latter rain hasn't happened yet. Hasn't taken place yet. It's a sovereign move of God Almighty. It's a sovereign move of God Almighty. A latter rain, just like early rain, but latter rain. Different time, different date. And it's what we're waiting for. Amen. Now, stand in with me. I don't know what time it is. Don't nobody tell me. Listen, I want you to know that latter rain is very close. You boys made me feel how close it was. I hadn't been in a place of business, and two young men almost attacked me with Bible questions in a long time. It overwhelmed me, fellas. You just can't know how little of that there is today. The Bible has fallen in the street as a whole. The Bible has fallen in the street as a whole, but God is beginning to wake people up. Anybody believe that? Anybody see any evidence that God's beginning to wake people up? Anybody see that coming? Let me see your hand if you see it coming. Wave them up there a little bit. I want people to see. Hey, you really believe that latter rain's coming? Do you believe it's coming? Well, get your hand up. God help him listen to his pastor. Hallelujah. Father, pour out your Holy Ghost on us. I want to be part of that latter rain. I'm going to be part of that latter rain. You ain't seen nothing yet till you see Brother Chambers preaching in that latter rain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants to pour out his Holy Ghost on his church, and he's going to do it sovereignly. Nobody's going to be in charge of it but God. I just want to be part of it. Bob, I can't wait. I honestly can't wait. I'm so hungry. Now, God is looking for people who want to be full of the Holy Ghost. God is looking for people who really want to be full of the Holy Ghost. Mostly the church has departed from the Holy Ghost experience. We got many churches, Pentecostal they call themselves, that won't allow you to speak in tongues in the church. If you're not speaking in tongues, it's because you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues at intervals. It don't have to be every day. With me, I can't stand the day goes by if I don't pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm yearning for it. But I want to be filled. I don't want to just have a little bit. I don't want just have a spring in my heels like I feel this morning. I want a baptism that sets me aflame. I want to see the fire of God and the might of His Holy Ghost. And I'm going to see it. I don't have any doubt about it. I'm not worthy. It's all because of grace. But I can hardly wait until that hour comes. What a day it's going to be. How your heads. Father. Father. There's wonderful people in this church this morning. I love them, everyone. And God, I know we're right there. We're right on the verge. Something is about to happen, Father. I feel it all the way over me. Something's about to happen, Sister Beth. Something's about to happen, dear visitors. I can tell y'all are acquainted with this. And I have a feeling you're hungry for it. Are you? You're hungry for it. Are you hungry for it, Bob? Didn't you tell me your dad was a Holy Ghost still preaching? Right? Where's your Holy Ghost? All these years. You're going to get filled again, aren't you? Are you? Tell me if you are. I want to hear you say yes, Brother Chambers. I'm going to be full again. I'm not trying to embarrass nobody. I just want this to be real for everybody. Now raise your hand way up high and ask God to fill you with His Holy Ghost, will you? Ask God to get a hold of you. If you're not saved, you got to get saved first. But I'm telling you, God wants to fill this place with a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're just sitting on the verge. It's like Brother Joe, it's right at the door. It's at the door. I'm telling you, God wants to pour out His power and His presence and His glory. He wants to show us His right arm of righteousness. He wants to heal the sick. He wants to save the lost. He wants to get sinners ready to go to heaven instead of hell. The multitudes out there on the way to hell. They're just on the way to hell. Anybody in this building that's hungry enough that you'd like to come to this altar and let's stand here and pray together. Move out of your seat. We won't be long. I won't keep you long. We're going out and have lunch together. I'm taking them boys with me. But if you're hungry, come and pray. Come and pray. Come, Brother Jose, I need you to pray. Come, Sister Leona, I need you to pray. Keep your distance. We're trying to do 6 foot. But if you get a little closer.